fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. As part of our Women's History Month coverage, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Australian Liz Mills, the first female head coach in the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL. For the second year in a row, Coach Mills has led a team to the BAL playoffs. Last year, Mills guided the Moroccan squad, AS Salah, to the playoffs. She was the first female head coach of a men's team in Morocco and the Arab world. This year, Mills is coaching BAL debutant ABC Fighters of Ivory Coast. The Fighters finished fourth in the Sahara Conference standings behind Rwanda Energy Group, AS Douan of Senegal, and top of the table, Stade Malien of Mali, another team making its debut in the BAL. Those four teams advanced to the BAL playoffs in May in Kigali, Rwanda. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Mills said it's a good feeling to book a ticket to Kigali.
We're very happy to have qualified, and it's not the way we necessarily wanted to, but at the end of the day, this is African basketball, and as we know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. I mean, it's very shocking that defending champions Monastir are out and that we snuck in that fourth position. And look, we're just glad that we have qualified and that we'll be in Rwanda, but we're disappointed with our final performance. And no doubt we've got 8 weeks till playoffs to really work hard and rectify the situation. And hopefully we can redeem ourselves in the quarterfinals. Look, we also understand that back-to-back is difficult and it is a disadvantage for teams like ourselves and Monastir to have played our back-to-backs in games 4 and 5. And, you know, hopefully that's something that the league can look at in terms of scheduling so that we don't have this kind of situation again. But we're very happy, like I said, to have qualified and we look forward to putting on a better performance come playoffs in May.
Your team has qualified for the Basketball Africa League playoff. Are you anticipating tough opposition? And when will preparations begin?
Most definitely, we're expecting a tough opponent in our quarterfinal game in May. Considering we finished fourth, this means that we're going to play the first place team in the Nile Conference. The Nile Conference has Petro De Luanda and Al Ahly, as well as other really good teams. And so we expect that the first team in that conference is going to be an elite team, which means that in order for us to get through to the semifinals, we're going to have to play an amazing game. We're going to have to be consistent over four quarters, and we're going to have to play so much better than what we have in the Sahara Conference. But anything can happen, and, you know, the Nile Conference might be just as crazy as the Sahara Conference has been. We might see some upsets. At the end of the day, no one would have predicted that Stade Mali would finish on top of the Sahara Conference. So maybe we'll see some unexpected results in the Nile Conference, but it doesn't really matter who we're playing in the quarterfinals because it's really about our own performance. And we know if we can execute, we can follow our game plan, we can play as a team, that we can really beat anybody on any given day. And that's what we're going to be preparing for.
Coach, what message do you have for the fans and supporters of ABC Fighters Basketball Club?
We as a team would really like to thank everybody who was involved with helping us qualify for BAL. So not only, you know, our board and management to our support staff, but also the players that are in Abidjan who really helped us over 5 weeks to get us to where we are today. Unfortunately, as a coach, you can't take a squad of 20. And so it's a credit to these players to have really been able to help us for 5 weeks and to continue to support us while we've been in Abidjan. But most importantly, our friends and family and supporters. They have been amazing. They've through all the ups and downs. They've been consistent. They've let us know that they support us, and they've really motivated us throughout this tournament. So we would like to thank everybody who has supported us all across the world, but especially our fans in Côte d'Ivoire. We look forward to seeing you soon and representing you to our best abilities in Rwanda.
That's Liz Mills, the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club, nicknamed the ABC Fighters. And Coach Mills spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Dakar, Senegal.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview.
March is Women's History Month, and there's no better time to celebrate the accomplishments of women. Tell us about the woman that left positive marks in your life. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA is always happy to hear your voice. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League. During the recent BAL Sahara Conference games in Dakar, Senegal, we broadcast the action in five languages on radio: English, French, Bambara, Portuguese, and Kinyarwanda. And if you haven't heard my VOA colleague Eddie Rowema call a fast break in Kinyarwanda, you simply haven't fulfilled your hoop dreams. Go get 'em, Eddie. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. There were 10 NBA games Wednesday night. Three of the winners were the Miami Heat, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors, and Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Giannis Antetokounmpo provided a double-double while playing just 24 minutes of the Bucks' 130-94 trouncing of the Spurs. Antetokounmpo sat out the entire fourth quarter after scoring 31 points and grabbing 14 rebounds.
We were able to run, get some easy ones, in transition, get some open threes, get downhill, just move the ball.
He helped Milwaukee expand its lead in the East to 2.5 games over Boston. Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton added 19 points each for the Bucks, who never trailed. Middleton also had 10 assists, while Portis had 10 rebounds. The Mavericks welcomed back Luka Doncic, but fell under 500 with a 127-125 loss to the Warriors. Doncic had 30 points and 17 assists after missing five straight games with a left thigh strain. Steph Curry delivered 20 points and assisted on Draymond Green's tie-breaking three-point play late in the game. Jonathan Kuminga scored 22 points on 9 of 11 shooting off the bench for Golden State.
For a great team to win, you need team effort. You need to move the ball. Everybody got to have to feel the ball. And that's pretty much what we came out there and do. And that's what got us this win.
Dallas played without Kyrie Irving and fellow guard Tim Hardaway Jr. The Heat improved their shot at a top six finish in the East by outlasting the Knicks, 127-120. Jimmy Butler had a game-high 35 points as Miami pulled within percentage points of the Nets for the final guaranteed playoff slot in the East.
We kind of have to win to be where we want to be. But I like it like that, you know. Playoff game, every possession matters.
Tyler Hero scored 14 of his 22 points in the fourth quarter for the Heat, who squandered an 11-point lead in the second half before regaining control with a 16-2 run midway through the fourth quarter. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. We heard from Jonathan Kuminga in Dave's report. Jonathan began playing basketball in the Democratic Republic of Congo at the age of 2. In 2016, he moved to the USA to play high school basketball. And from there, it's been up, up, up for Jonathan Kuminga. The Golden State Warriors selected Kuminga with the 7th overall pick in the 2021 NBA draft. And during his rookie season, he won the NBA championship with Golden State. And at the tender young age of 20, Jonathan Kuminga is definitely a player to watch in the NBA. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports and other VOA programs. Check out voaafrica.com. Now let's go to Ghana, where an aid group is using the growing popularity of basketball and the Basketball Africa League to help keep vulnerable kids in at-risk communities in school. A program known as Dunk Grassroots is offering basketball practice for students who earn reading credits at the library. Sananu Tord reports from Jamestown, Ghana.
Emilia Boni, the fourth of seven siblings, lives in the slum community of Jamestown in Accra. She's dreamed of becoming a customs officer and believes her basketball skills can help her get there. She joined a program called Dunk, Developing Unity, Nurturing Knowledge, Grassroots. The sports and education program requires students to keep good grades to continue to play sports. Emilia has done so well academically that she has won a scholarship to continue her studies.
If you are not doing well, then you have to stop and study, till you get back to where you were. Then you start playing the sports again.
Dunk Grassroots, the youth-led community-based project, targets at-risk women and children ages 8 to 19 living in low-income communities. It uses basketball as a tool to encourage youth to stay in or come back to school. Mohamed Tahir is a co-founder of Dunk Grassroots.
Once they are committed to the sports, they have cool jerseys, they have a team, they go with a bus to go and play a match. They don't want to lose that, right? So you introduce the education by saying, and it's very basic, but it works, you know, saying you have to complete 2 hours of library before you play basketball. At 4 p.m., everybody's here trying to complete 2 hours of study before they play basketball.
A teacher at Accra Wesley Girls High School says they have seen an increase in the number of girls participating in the program. The school has admitted 20 Dunk students in a four-year period and gone to win regional and national high school basketball competitions during that time. Sports teacher Vaida Yabani says the program also prepares students to find a job after basketball.
after your retirement in the game or your injury during your time of play and you can't play again, where do you go? But if you have your education background, you'll be able to have something on your own.
With the introduction of the Basketball Africa League, BAL, in 2019, basketball has seen a surge in popularity at the national level. In December, the Ghana Basketball Association, or GBBA, drafted its first male and female national teams to compete in the qualifying rounds of the continental tournament. VOA is a BAL broadcast partner. Alex Kukula, the vice president of the Ghana Basketball Association, said the opportunity to compete at a continental level will help develop the sport at the grassroots level.
We've been linking up with you. We get a calendar and we are trying to work around it for our teams to participate in BAL.
Dunk grassroots officials say they will develop their model to also identify talent that has the potential to compete at the international level. Dunk co-founder Tahir and his team hope that with the opportunity to play at the professional level, students will be even more interested in the basketball and the education program. Sena Anutor for VOA News, Jamestown, Ghana.
Thanks, Sananu.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
In American-style football, Jeff Pope won a Super Bowl title in 2008 as a cornerback with the New York Giants. 2 years later, Jeff was out of the sport and turned his attention to business. He now describes himself as a risk management professional and serial entrepreneur. Jeff is also passionate about Black history and his commitment to his community. VOA's Mukbil Yabaro asked Jeff Pope, with the end of Black History Month here in the USA, what are your thoughts about the month in general and people who say Black history should be taught year-round?
In my house, it's Black history every day, right? So I definitely think the acknowledgement is needed, especially when you consider the country's past. But Black history is American history, so hopefully we can get to a point where we don't have to designate, you know, the shortest month in the year to Black history. So I definitely think it should be embedded in American history because that's what it is.
So as we've seen with certain things happening across the country, what's your thoughts on Governor DeSantis's banning of African-American AP for Florida schools?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. You know, there's a lot of things going on in Florida, but I think it's unfortunate, right? Again, you know, Black history, African-American history is part of this country's history, right? You can't remove it. Right. No matter how painful it might be, that's an inevitable truth. Right. That's an objective statement. So, you know, whether it's Asian curriculum, whether it's European curriculum, whatever it might be, you know, it should be allowed to be taught. The other thing is it's an AP course. Right. So it's not, you know, part of the everyday curriculum. Right. So this is going to be taught to select students. Right. Who seek out this information in their course. So, you know, I'm obviously against it. Hopefully the folks on the ground and those fighting that legal battle will prevail.
Let's segue into your transition from playing in the NFL and then going into insurance and risk management. How do you make that jump?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So, you know, I got hurt in 2010. That was officially my last year. I was able to get vested, which is another term for basically get my pension. So that was a blessing in itself. I was an undrafted rookie. So to be able to do that and have a Super Bowl ring, I was just trying to figure out my next move. I was 26 years old. I had to go back to undergrad at Eastern Michigan to finish up my last semester of undergrad. So I did that right away. And I just tried to figure out what was the next move. I met with a mentor, another former NFL guy, who was in insurance. And at the time, my knowledge of insurance was, you know, State Farm and, you know, Progressive. And he really sat down with me and we talked about corporate insurance. We talked about all the intangible skill sets that you had as a former athlete and how they easily transfer to this world. And that's what I did. We put together a 3-year plan I went back to school to get my business degree at Columbia Business School. And then I was able to take a position at Aon, which is where I'm at now. I've been there a little bit over 5 years. It's a blessing to be where I'm at. But, you know, it was a bumpy road. I was trying to figure out what to do. And what I definitely knew I didn't want to do was go into coaching or become a trainer. No knock to my NFL brothers who went down that road, but I definitely wanted to go a different lane. So that's what I decided to do.
Okay. Just to kind of elaborate on that, why do you feel like you maybe weren't as interested in going in that traditional route, whether it's coaching, training, or even you see some NBA guys do the analyst work, right? So what kind of made you want to go to a different route?
Yeah, great question. I mean, you know, I just was so turned off by the business of professional sports, if that makes sense, right? And if you're blessed to play on Sundays or play any other sport professionally, right, whether it's soccer, baseball, NBA, you know, that consumes you. That's your life, right? You have the season, you have the off season, you really don't have any time off. And so having dedicated my life to this game of football for so long, having played 3.5 years in the NFL, you know, obviously going through college, having significant injuries, obviously playing, you know, in high school and before that, I just wanted to take a break. I just wanted to hit pause. And before this whole, like, I'm more than an athlete, you know, my mom, you know, the high school I went to, other folks in my community instilled in me, like, look, this is just a part of what you do. It's not who you are. So I just wanted to get out of that.
No, that's an amazing point, bro. A lot of times you'll see athletes sometimes don't even know what their identity is outside of playing the sport. It's amazing you brought that point up. So talk to me about some of your initiatives that you're involved in within your community, and if you have any plans on being involved with any initiatives on the continent in Africa.
Sure. So, you know, one of the things I was proud of during my time at Columbia Business School in New York was helping build an entrepreneurship curriculum for soon to be released individuals who were incarcerated. We built that curriculum from scratch, me and a few other students, and that curriculum is currently being taught in New York State facilities. We believe it's helping reduce the recidivism rate, which is amazing, and helping these folks transition into society. We're in the process now, I can't talk about it too much, of trying to duplicate that in the Philadelphia area, as well as some other areas on the East Coast. So I'm very interested in that work. Some other things that I do, we host, me and a small group host weekly chats on Malcolm X and other Black history, simply because, I'm a lifelong learner, I'm a reader, I'm a rare book collector, and I truly believe that the answers to many of our hard problems as it relates to our communities have already been given to us, right? So it's just up to us to uncover them and discuss them in detail. So we do that on a weekly basis. And then I support some of those organizations, right? So those are some of the things I'm doing. I'm also reviving what we call a perspective platform, which allows young people to essentially control their narrative and weigh in on many of the issues that are impacting them on a daily basis, right? You know, violence, you know, cyberbullying, you name it, right? Giving young people the power to really, you know, share their voice and uplift it. So those are some of the things I'm doing in the community, as well as some other nonprofit things. But yeah, always happy to have that discussion.
Definitely glad to have you on. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Thank you.
That's Jeff Pope, a former National Football League player who won the Super Bowl title in 2008 with the New York Giants. And Jeff was talking with VOA's Mukbil Yabaro.
Sporty greetings. This is Namhla Mphelo, media officer of Banyana Banyana of South Africa. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
South African motorcycle racer Brad Binder is now recognized as one of the top MotoGP riders in the world in this Encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation. Darren Taylor tells us more from Johannesburg.
Brad Binder started out racing go-karts on the tracks of South Africa as an 8-year-old in 2003. But he soon found four wheels to be boring, and just 2 years later, he began racing motorcycles. Competing against kids much older than him, Binder won title after title in the 50cc, 125cc, and 150cc categories. In 2008, at the age of 14, he made his international debut in Britain. Binder never managed to win an amateur championship, mostly because he crashed relatively often because of his overly aggressive racing style at the time. He turned professional in 2015, winning the Moto3 World Championship a year later. During that championship, Binder delivered a performance that motorcycle racing experts have described as one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the sport. With less than half of the race in Jerez, Spain, remaining, Binder was in 35th position, stone last. But he fought his way up the field, passing the riders in the first three positions to claim victory on the final lap. It came as no surprise when the KTM team, based in Austria, asked the South African to make the step up to MotoGP on one of its bikes for the 2020 season. Binder made an almost immediate impression in the third round in Brno, Czech Republic.
But it's coming, and it's coming now. Up the inside he goes. The rookie, Brad Binder, on the Red Bull KTM leads a Grand Prix here in Brno. Let that sink in.
Binder became the first rookie to win a Grand Prix since the legendary Marc Marquez, who did it in 2013.
You beauty, a blazing victory for Binder, a new star is born. You have never seen anything like it in your life. What a ride, what a race, what a performance by the South African.
Binder ended a creditable 11th in his first championship season. He ended 6th in both the 2021 and 2022 seasons. Binder acknowledges that his old demon of driving too aggressively has hampered his chances of winning the championship so far. He told the media after a recent practice at Johannesburg's Kyalami track that he's ready to make a serious attempt at the championship in 2023.
I've had probably one of the best Decembers and beginning of January that I ever have. So my fitness testing and stuff and my numbers are all better than I've ever had, so you know what I've been doing has been working for me, and I'm really excited to get started. I expect to be stronger. We've got a bit of work to do, but I'm confident I can definitely improve my finish from last season.
Binder started the 2022 season with a bang, ending second at the Qatar Grand Prix. Throughout the year, he finished in the top 10 consistently, including another second place at the Japanese Grand Prix. This is his fourth year with the KTM MotoGP team.
It's amazing to be part of a company for that amount of time. You know, it's most of my career coming from Moto3 to MotoGP. So, I can't thank the guys at KTM enough. It's an amazing opportunity for me, and I know I can give them the results they deserve.
In 2021, Binder achieved one of his best results, winning the Austrian Grand Prix in torrential rain. A first ever win for KTM at its home ground of the Red Bull Ring in the city of Spielberg.
I'd won there Moto2, and it was a special day for me. So, well, I could only imagine how cool it would have been, and to actually get it done was amazing. It was an amazing feeling to be at the home of Red Bull and KTM, and to cross the line first was so cool.
This season, says Binder, he aims to ride better during qualifying rounds.
In the racing side, I always seem to find something extra on a Sunday, especially for the race. It's something I always try and keep in my back pocket, but it would definitely be great to try and qualify a little bit further up the grid more often.
He says the KTM bike he'll be riding in 2023 is more powerful than it's ever been.
I think this season's going to really help us to make that next step, and hopefully it comes sooner rather than later. You know, we're all here to win. We're all here to fight up front. That's what I want to do. I'm not happy when I'm racing around in 5th and 10th every weekend.
Whether he wins championships or not, says Binder, he feels blessed.
When I arrive at the track, it's never felt like I'm going to work. You know, I don't think it could feel like you're going to work racing a bike for a living.
Binder's a sportsman who prides himself on always being grounded. This year, he hopes his feet are planted more firmly than ever on the podiums of the world's great racetracks. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
And that wraps up the March 23rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.